this morning's reading is going to come from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses from 19 through to 30. So that's the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, verses 19 to 30. Give you a second to find that. Okay, starting in verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, their trousers, turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up the, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors and the royal advisers crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was there a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or any language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Most of us are very familiar with this reading from Daniel. There's the 3 young Jewish men who were tied up and thrown into the hottest furnace imaginable. And yet by God's power, they not only survived, but came through completely unscathed. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you feeling the heat? Do you feel like you're going through a furnace of affliction and that the thermostat is set on the 20 mark? And you know, really, that's a rhetorical question, because for all of us, in one degree or another, we're all going through things. It's a given that, if not at this moment in time, certainly in the recent past or certainly in the near future, all of us will or will feel that flame. And it's going to be so hot, it's going to set off that fire alarm, isn't it? You know, you hear all these cliches that things are sent to try us. And one of my favourites at the moment, and this is certainly true, is that rocks never fall on their own. And I guess we've all felt that time, haven't we, when we feel like we've walked out onto a film set such as the Siege of the Alamo and we're absolutely surrounded. But when we find ourselves in these seemingly unassailable situations, when we find ourselves at a wit's end and in the throes of despair, how do we cope with it? Now, thankfully, Scripture is full of encouragement and hope for even the most trying of situations. But there are 2 other important aspects in which we have to have, and that is trust and faith. I'm going to be really honest with you this morning. These are two things I'm having to develop in my walk with the Lord. There's been a lot of challenges recently. And it's so easy, isn't it, to go into a tailspin when things go wrong, for any of us. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of all the previous difficulties which seemed in my life insurmountable at that time, and reminded me that He's always been faithful and He's always brought me through the most hopeless of situations. Yes, the Lord, praise Him, is always in control. The bigger the problem, the bigger our God is. Amen. Yeah. Scripture constantly reminds us, but also encourages us when we're in a difficult time. For example, 1 Peter verse 4, verses 12 to 13 says the following. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is sent to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. James 1, verses 2 to 3. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Okay, so these verses are all very encouraging, but what is the Lord doing in all of our lives? What is the point, you may ask, of all these afflictions, troubles and the like? Very often, you see, it's because Jesus is refining us. He's wanting us to be like Him. The theologians, to put a posh term on it, call it the process of sanctification. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 sheds light on this. And we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. You see, friends, we are the unveiled. We've accepted the gospel message. Christ has entered our lives. The scales have fallen away. And we're being changed from one degree of glory to another. But it always comes at a cost, because the Lord has to constantly be at work in us to clear away all the debris in our life and all the tat that we have accumulated. And sometimes that hurts. It's almost like God has to get a removal van, isn't it? And take all our rubbish and take it down to the dump at Wychford. He has to do that many times, so it's not just a one-off, is it, unfortunately? We remember John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus says here, every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The Lord has to get out His secateurs so that we can develop and produce fruit. It's all, again, part of that refining process that He's working out in us. And Hebrews 12, verse 11 says much the same. No discipline or correction seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Ooh, we don't want that, do we? But it's to provide righteousness and peace for those who have gone through it. Just want to share something. Recently, I went with my son James on a stadium tour, the London Stadium down in East London. It's where our team plays, West Ham. And for those you know into sports, you know it's the site where they had the 2012 Olympic Games. So it was a wonderful day. We got shown around by an ex-favourite of the club, you know, an ex-pro, seeing all the things behind the scene that most fans never get to see. And as we're walking around, there's pictures and photos of former players and famous matches that took place. But then, as we go from one bit to another, I noticed a big image of our club symbol on the wall. And with these words written below, it really stood out. It said, "The hotter the furnace, the stronger the iron." And that was very appropriate because our team was originally made up of men who worked in the shipyards on the banks of the Thames in the East End, formerly known as Thames Ironworks. And that just hit me. As well as developing character and the likeness of Jesus in us, we're being toughened up. That's why the Lord will often use these difficult occasions. He has a divine purpose tailor-made for each of our lives, each individually. And if we look at the narrative of Daniel's friends, we find them in that furnace, not because of something they did wrong or something that was their fault, but because of their unswerving loyalty to their God, to their king. They wouldn't bow to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had made. They didn't go along with the crowd or conform to the popular culture that was expected of them. And how prevalent is that today? And I think it's very significant for today. But we'll also be in the future, and I believe not the too distant future, not too far ahead. Are we going to resist that push against our belief in the one true God, in our Saviour, in our Messiah, and all that he stands for, and all that we hold to? We're under all sorts of pressures today, aren't we? But it's not going to be going away anytime soon. What is a bane to believers today? What is our fall in the flesh today? We'll just morph into something else and something worse. And it will get progressively more so until the Lord returns. I wish I could give you a more light-hearted message, but you know, Scripture tells us this is what's going to happen. And we're all believers in Scripture here, aren't we? A lot is said today about taking the knee. But who are you bound before? That false idol like Nebuchadnezzar set up and the so-called gods of our generation? Where does your heart belong to? Are we going to be able to resist the call of our age and bow and submit to that which we're told to for the greater good and for the interest of unity, diversity? Philippians 2 verse 10 says, "For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth." Can I encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to make that choice today? Everybody's going to be doing this when Jesus returns. But if you receive him as your Lord and Saviour this day, then when he returns, it will be out of a sense of love and gratitude and joy at his coming that you bow that knee. To willingly bow that knee now is to know him, and it's the best decision that you can ever make. For those who won't take the knee now for Christ, they will do so later on, but they're not going to be pleased to see him at all at his return. Let's just say that the implications for them is going to be very different for those who know him. You see, the Lord is using these trials for our refining, also that we won't be deceived or fall away. That's why he's toughening us up. Jesus says this, doesn't he, multiple times in the Gospels. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons." Now sadly, as I've said this many times before, believers are being hoodwinked and deceived today, or just falling away from the faith that they once believed in, that's revealed to them in the Scriptures. Now sadly, the world's awash with this, isn't it? We expect this in the world. But we're seeing much of the church falling into the same trap. We're seeing it right before our eyes. But the good news is, friends, that Jesus is using these trials to get us ready to meet him. He's preparing us now for something that is so much better than what we have in this world. Something that is so much more superior. Paul in Romans 8 verse 18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." Yes, friends, it's not pleasant now. No one's pretending it is. But this is a preparation for us to meet the Lord. He's coming back for a spotless bride. That's what he wants. You know, when the Apollo missions were going up in the 60s and the 70s, I'm showing my age now because I can remember seeing them actually live. One of the most dramatic moments amongst many was when the capsule with the three astronauts in was just about to enter the Earth's atmosphere. The capsule had to be in full working order, particularly the heat shields, which were vital to a safe return. Also, the angle of the vessel would have to be exactly at the right trajectory, the right angle, or else it would be incinerated on re-entry. Then once the module had entered the intense heat of the atmosphere, contact with NASA would be lost for several minutes. Remember that film, I think it was Tom Cruise was in it, Apollo 13, you know, everything's lost, all communication. The control room and millions of people would hold their breath around the world awaiting the appearance of the capsule through the clouds. But then it would appear with the parachutes would be deployed and eventually the capsule would splash down in the sea. The naval vessels were to retrieve the astronauts, bring them aboard the ship, and they would return home often to a hero's welcome, wouldn't they? And in some ways, that's a metaphor for our situation when we go through these trials and these tribulations in our life. The difference is, though, friends, is that Jesus is with us in the heat of the furnace. When we're going through the intense heat of life's stratosphere. Remember at the start, three were thrown into the fire and yet a fourth was seen walking around. Now, we know from Scripture that obviously this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus in their midst of a blazing inferno. Now, those fueling the fire were consumed and burnt alive, but the three Hebrew lads were unscathed and eventually unbound and released. Beloved, as believers, we will feel the heat, particularly if we are being faithful and not compromising, as these three young men were. The enemy might have our number, but he won't get through if we abide in our beloved Messiah and follow his commands, hear and obey. Those who seek to make the oven hotter will be eventually decimated by their own evil. Satan and all his minions. Rather like Haman when he tried to construct the gallows for the Jews at the time of Esther. He ended up being hung on them himself. But be assured, Jesus will pass through the fire, the water and anything else that gets held at us. He stands with us, strong and steadfast, never leaving or forsaking us. I just want to finish with a few verses this morning from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 4. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Let's just hold on to that from Isaiah today. You know, we are going to face all sorts of things. Whatever we're going through, it might be family things, it might be things at work, it could be any number of things, but you know, the Lord's going to bring us through. And if we stay in him, if we remain in him, like those three Jewish boys in Babylon, we'll come out of it unscathed because we have got Jesus with us in the fire. Amen. Can I just pray, please? Oh Lord, you are a faithful God. You stand with us through the fires, through the waters, what life the enemy and anyone else throws at us, Lord. And Lord, in these coming weeks and months and possibly years, Lord, we know that that fire is going to be heated up. But you're using it also for our refinement to make us more like the Lord Jesus. You're creating a good work in us. And Lord, we have that faithful guarantee that you will stand with us, come what may. You say in your word, you will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, that is a truth. It's as solid as the floor that we're standing on this morning. So Lord, for each and every one of us, whatever we're facing right now, you know us. You know us individually. Lord, you say in your word, not one sparrow falls to the ground without you knowing. And Lord, you know the hairs on our head, Lord. In other words, you know everything inside out and out in every dimension about us. So Lord, I just pray your blessing, your protection, your covering over everyone here this morning. And Lord, if anyone hears this message, maybe on the internet, if they haven't bowed the knee to Yeshua, to Jesus, I pray that they will. For that is the only name of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us all this week and keep us in your love and your protection. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.